Who doesn't love a good conspiracy theory? Throw in the Catholic Church, a secret society, and clues hidden in famous artwork, and you have a whopper of a tale. Welcome again to Great Stories About Great Storytellers. I'm your host, Dr. Randy Overbeck, author of the award-winning series, The Haunted Shores Mysteries. In this podcast, I reveal the little-known backstories of famous authors, poets, and directors. In other words, great storytellers. For this episode, I feature the author who turned all the above ingredients into a blockbuster novel, Dan Brown, the author of The Da Vinci Code. Dan Gerard Brown was born on June 22, 1964, to a high school math teacher and a talented musician and church organist. He was raised on a prep school campus, Phillips Exeter Academy, and there he developed a fascination with the paradoxical interplay between science and religion. As a youth, Dan's upbringing was immersed in codes and ciphers, experiences his parents lavished on him and his siblings. Growing up, the Brown children participated in elaborate treasure hunts devised by their father for birthdays and holidays. On Christmas, for example, the children would not find gifts under the tree, but instead would follow a treasure map with codes and clues throughout their house, and even around town to locate their presents. These youthful experiences provided ample ground for Brown's fertile imagination. Following his mother's example, Dan Brown's creativity found its first outlet in music. In 1987, he pursued a career as a musician, recording a set of children's songs, which sadly saw little success. He then tried his hand at the adult market with a CD called Perspective, but this fared no better. Undeterred, he moved to Hollywood in 1991 to pursue a career as a singer-songwriter and a pianist. Once there, he even joined the National Academy of Songwriters. Though the change in location did not improve his prospects as a musician, he did meet Blythe Newland there, who would later become his wife. Today, millions of readers are grateful his musical career did not pan out. In 1993, Dan and Blythe moved back to New England, where he became an English teacher at his own alma mater, a man after my own heart. You see, more than a few years ago, I too taught high school English. But as it turns out, teaching was not Brown's calling, and I can forgive him for that. 3 years later, he gave up teaching to pursue a career as a writer. However, success in this new endeavor was anything but immediate. His first novel, Deception Point, a story of clandestine organizations and code breaking, was published in 1998. He followed that with two more novels, Angels and Demons in 2000 and Deception Point in 2001. None of these works made much of an impact or sold many copies. But in Angels and Demons, Brown introduced Robert Langdon, the Harvard symbiology expert, a character the world would soon embrace. Then, in 2003, Brown set loose the Da Vinci Code into the world. The story, again featuring Professor Robert Langdon solving puzzles embedded in famous artwork, racing to famous landmarks in Europe, and avoiding attempts on his life by nefarious forces, became a bestseller, climbing to the top of the New York Times bestseller list during its very first week. In fact, The Da Vinci Code is one of the most popular books ever published, having sold more than, get this, 81 million copies. For a little perspective, James Patterson, admittedly the most successful American novelist today, has sold close to 300 million copies, but that's with about 100 novels with his name on the cover. According to the editors of Time magazine, Brown's The Da Vinci Code was responsible for renewed interest in Leonardo da Vinci and early Christian history, It increased tourism to Paris and Rome, where much of the narrative takes place. It helped grow membership in secret societies, and it launched a major motion picture franchise. Within months, his readers devoured his earlier works and snapped them up. In fact, in 2004, Brown accomplished a feat few, if any, other writers have ever done. At that point, all four of his books were on the New York Times list in the same week. Brown's next novel, The Lost Symbol, 2007, again featuring the nerdy action hero Professor Langdon in a treasure hunt involving the Masons, sold over 1 million copies on its first day, prompting the publisher to run another 600,000 in addition to the 5 million initial run. He followed with two more Langdon novels, Inferno in 2013, a thriller with Dante's classic work at its center, and Origin, a tale that combines art symbols and AI about the origin of life. Together, his books have sold a staggering 200 million copies and have been translated into 57 languages. Three Langdon novels, The Da Vinci Code, Angels and Demons, and Inferno, have been adapted into blockbuster movies with none other than Tom Hanks portraying the intrepid professor. A fourth, The Lost Symbol, was adapted into a television series. Even with these amazing numbers and great success, or maybe because of it, Brown has had more than his share of harsh critics. I'm going to share with you just a few samples of this criticism. In the Lost Symbol, Brown should stop worrying about unfinished pyramids and worry about unfinished novels. That's one. Another one. As a stylist, Brown gets better and better. Where once he was abysmal, he is now only just very poor. Whoa. And a third, as a believer in the enjoyably awful, I would recommend this book wholeheartedly if I could. But it's mainly just awful. Ouch. For the most part, Dan Brown is undaunted by the harsh criticism. He insists, and I quote, "Some people understand my writing, and they're my fans. Some people don't, and they're my critics." Instead, he simply dedicates his time to continuing his extensive research and to creating million-selling treasure hunts readers can't wait to jump into. More than anything else, Dan keeps telling great stories. And isn't that what most readers crave? In a minute, after a few words from this episode's sponsor, I'll share a few of Brown's quite unusual habits as a writer, which he says helps him achieve stardom as an author.
Thank you, Randy, for letting me share a bit about my magazine with your listeners. Still Moments Magazine is an independently developed and published digital magazine. Since the first issue in 2003, our editorial philosophy is of positive reading and enjoyment. Our free subscription magazine contains interesting articles, recipes, puzzles, giveaways, and more. We welcome you to stop by our website at www.stillmomentsezine.blogspot.com or visit our Facebook page. And remember, finding a still moment in the heart of life is not always simple. While these still moments might be brief, never stop looking for them and enjoy every single moment.
Now, to the unusual writing habits of Dan Brown. Brown likes to tell the story of his first book signing outside a bookstore at a shopping mall. For hours, he sat there, pens ready to sign, no one coming up. 3 hours into it, he had not signed a single book. About that time, a man walked up and Brown thought, "Finally!" And then the man asked, "Can you tell me where the restroom is?" This might have been enough to dissuade other writers, but not Dan Brown. Now, he could easily buy that shopping mall. Is there a secret formula that propelled Dan Brown to stardom? Any particular writing habits he credits with his success? Writers and readers would like to know. You know, some of Brown's habits are pretty much like many other writers, but others are unlike any I've ever heard of. Like many successful writers, Dan Brown devotes a sizable chunk of every day, I mean every day, to his research and writing. He says that he never takes a day off, not even for Christmas. His writing time is primarily several hours in the morning. And no doubt this single-minded dedication has clearly paid off for him. His habits during this writing time are a bit different, though. While most mornings, he will be working at his computer in his loft from, say, 7 till noon, he stops every hour to do, get this, a set of push-ups. He says the physical activity keeps his mind sharp. But how he deals with writer's block is, unconventional. He uses what he calls inversion therapy to help break his blocks. When he's struggling with a plot, he straps on a pair of gravity boots and he hangs himself upside down. Brown said, "Hanging upside down seems to help me solve plot challenges by shifting my entire perspective. I get dizzy thinking of that, but whatever works." In addition to sharing the experience of teaching high school students, Dan Brown and I share another characteristic. His novels, like my Haunted Shore Mysteries, focus on serious issues facing society. While my novels address concerns like racial injustice and human trafficking, Brown's The Da Vinci Code confronts the wealth and power of religion, Inferno tackles the problem of overpopulation, and Origin addresses the dangers of AI. Like me, Dan Brown believes it is important to use popular fiction to ask important questions. You've probably already read his stories, or at least seen the movies, and if you have, but I bet you haven't picked up mine yet. Blood on the Chesapeake, Crimson at Cape May, or Scarlet at Crystal River. You can find details on all three on my website, www.authorrandyoverbeck.com. There, you can also listen to any of the podcast episodes you might have missed. Speaking of which, you're not going to want to miss the next episode about the remarkable J.K. Rowling. Need I say more? Until next time, keep reading those great stories, and I hope one of them is mine.